Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is Hidden Killers Half Year in Review. A look back at some of the most compelling cases of 2026 so far. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's a post that wasn't meant for you. On the night of March 13th, a 23-year-old Twitch streamer named Neil Langston opened Instagram, selected close friends, that curated inner circle, the people you actually trust, and started typing. What he wrote was raw, angry, and in his mind, private. The digital equivalent of pulling someone aside at the party and venting through gritted teeth. By morning, the screenshots were everywhere. Thankfully, I'm legally fine in every way. And boy, do I got all my receipts for things. Ha, 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 ha. Sit with that for a second, that laugh. It's not the laugh of someone who's fine. That's the laugh of someone who's been sitting on something for months, who got dragged across state lines in handcuffs, who watched people he trusted turn on him, who finally decided to let a little of it out to close friends, privately. Except nothing in this case has stayed private for long. Then came the second post, darker, less laughing. Quote, I think the worst part is that I've told so many people that I trust and I thought knew me as a person, my side of things. All for that to be thrown out the effing window as soon as I get arrested and they slap that dickhead's name next to mine. He doesn't say David or D4VD. He doesn't say Celeste. He doesn't say what happened to her. He says that dickhead. He says, the thing I was arrested for, a man who claims to have all the receipts, who is there, who knows things, who, by his own account, has been wronged by all this, couldn't bring himself to name the 14-year-old girl at the center of it. We're going to come back to that. Of course, we're getting into the latest in the David case. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube and Substack. We'd love to see them. For anyone who needs the foundation here, David is the stage name of David Anthony Burke, a 20-year-old singer-songwriter who went viral a few years back with a song called Romantic Homicide and built a real career fast. Hollywood Hills, rental, world tour, label deal, and somewhere in the middle of all that, a 14-year-old girl in from Lake Elsinore named Celeste Rivas Hernandez ended up dead. On September 8th of 25, a tow yard worker in Hollywood noticed a smell coming from an impounded Tesla. When police opened the front truck, they found a black cadaver bag covered in insects. Inside, Celeste, severely decomposed, dismembered. Her head and torso in one bag, her arms and legs in another. The Tesla was registered to David Anthony Burke. D4VD, David. And it gets worse. Investigators have since indicated that the forensic examination of her remains was significantly complicated by cryopreservation, a freeze-thaw cycle. Her body had allegedly been frozen before it ended up in that car, which means the cause of death is still officially undetermined, not because nobody's trying, because whoever did this made it extraordinarily difficult to know. Prosecutors have formally named David as the target of the grand jury investigation. The case is titled The People of the State of California v. David Burke. It is allegedly the target. Or he, rather, is allegedly the target, David. And he may be involved in the death of a 14-year-old girl named Celeste Rivas Hernandez. As of right now, no charges have been filed. No arrests have been made. David is not in custody. And he's not made a single public statement. And Neil Langston was not a peripheral figure in any of this. Photos uncovered by private investigator Steve Fisher and online researchers show Langston inside David's Hollywood Hills mansion with David and with Celeste. He was in that house, according to TMZ. Law enforcement sources believe David allegedly made a late-night drive from Los Angeles to a remote area of Santa Barbara in the spring of 25, months before Celeste's body was found, and that he was accompanied by someone. The name that kept surfacing online was Neos. And in days after Celeste's remains were identified and the case exploded publicly, Neil Langston quietly went to his Instagram and deleted every photo and every reference to David he'd ever posted. Every single one. That's a person who just told his close friends he has receipts. January 22nd and 26th, Helena, Montana. Police have shown up at Neil Langston's mother's home on Knight Street with an outstanding warrant from California. He'd been subpoenaed to appear at a grand jury testimony as a witness. He hadn't appeared, so they came for him. Seven officers for a Twitch streamer. He was handcuffed on the front steps, booked at 5:56 in the evening without bond and transported to Los Angeles Metropolitan Detention Center. He bonded out at $60,000 bail. His lawyer put out a statement. Neo played no part in this crime. He's been cooperating with law enforcement. He's been wrongfully prosecuted in the court of public opinion. They painted him as a victim of online mob justice who just happened to get arrested in another state because of a California investigation into a teenager's death. And that may be so. See, kids, the company you keep is important. Because if someone in the company you keep does something horrible like this, and you happen to have been around at that point in time in their life, you might get looked at pretty closely. You might get arrested and pulled in for a deposition to testify. Doesn't mean you did anything wrong, but it matters the folks keep around you. February 4th, Neo showed up at a Los Angeles courthouse where the grand jury has been meeting since November. Cameras catch him walking in, and he walks back out approximately 30 to 40 minutes later and says absolutely nothing to reporters. Now, here's the thing about those 40 minutes. David's manager, Robert Morngroth, the head of the touring company, reportedly testified before that same grand jury for several days. Prosecutors were described as very pushy about why he didn't call police when he found out about the body. Days. Neil Langston, someone who was photographed inside David's home with both the singer and the victim, who was allegedly on that Santa Barbara drive. That's the allegation. We cannot prove it. We do not know for sure. Whose name has been attached to the case from the beginning through many allegations, gave them 40 minutes and walked out without a word. Why? Maybe he doesn't know anything. Maybe he doesn't have anything. Maybe he was just along for the ride the same way Celeste was for a long time until that didn't work out. We don't know, and we're no way saying Neil Langston has anything to do with the death of Celeste Rivas Hernandez, but his proximity to these people in this case certainly makes him someone worth talking to, and the authorities believe so too, which is why they arrested him in Montana and hauled his ass back to California to ask a few questions. So what happened in that room? Nobody outside the grand jury knows. And that gap between what Neo reportedly knows and what Neo apparently told investigators is where a lot of this story lives. Then March 13th, the close friends post. And three people read them. None of them were impressed. The first was Jack Fox, an author and statement analysis expert who studies the language people use when they're not being entirely forthcoming. Los Angeles Magazine brought him in specifically to break down Neo's posts. His read was methodical, and it was damning. According to Fox, he noted that Neo never mentions the alleged crime, never mentions Celeste Rivas Hernandez, never mentions David by name. Instead, he refers to the thing I was arrested for, language Fox described as reducing a serious investigation into something almost generic, deliberately vague, an attempt to minimize the gravity of what's being investigated by refusing to describe it in any specific terms. Fox's conclusion was direct in the statement, Neo's prime concern is for himself. He called the post's image management an attempt to look like a winner, and he noted what was most striking of it all. that in a post about how unfair the situation has been, in a post about being wronged and betrayed and dragged through something he claims he had nothing to do with, the name Celeste Rivas Hernandez does not appear once. The second person to respond publicly was Steve Fisher, not an academic, not a media analyst. Fisher is the private investigator hired by the owner of David's Hollywood Hills rental property, the man who walked through that house after LAPD left and found items investigators reportedly didn't collect. He's been one of the most persistent, most vocal voices demanding accountability in this case for months, and he went straight at Neo on X. If you have to tell my side of things, Fisher wrote, that means you were involved in the things. You just want everyone to believe you did less of the things. People who weren't involved don't have a my side of things. And then Fisher flagged the same absence Fox had identified. Neo's post is full of grievance, full of frustration about being betrayed, about people taking someone else's side, about his reputation being torched by association. Not once, not in any of it, does he write the name of the 14-year-old girl whose dismembered remains were found in his former best friend's car. Take a second with that. He wrote paragraphs about himself. He had nothing for her. The third read isn't from an expert, it's just math. Neo says he has receipts. Neo says he knows things. His lawyer says he's been fully cooperating. He spent 40 minutes with the grand jury, the one place where what he knows would actually matter. The one room where receipts mean something. Either he gave them everything in that room, which makes the Instagram victory lap nothing more than performance, or he didn't, which means the phrase fully cooperating is doing a lot of heavy lifting. Those two things cannot both be true at the same time, and the answer to which one is true matters enormously, not for Neo's reputation, but for what happens next in a case that has been grinding forward for 6 months while a family waits for answers about their daughter. Your reputation. The only reputation you have is that you were friends with David. You're a Twitch streamer. You play video games on camera. Your reputation. The day after the screenshots went everywhere, Neo returned to Instagram. This time publicly, he acknowledged that his silence had created a void people were rushing to fill. He said, the case isn't about him. You're right, it's not. It's about getting justice for the victim and her family. He said he finds it disrespectful to weigh in publicly while the investigation is ongoing and that he won't be doing it again. Okay, good. I'm glad you grounded yourself and realized it's not all about you, because it's not. No one's even like really pointing at you going, you did something bad. It's just like, what do you know about this shit show? Really interesting projection, though, that you seem to be acting like there might be more. That's kind of a tell. Maybe you should talk to someone before you post shit online. That can be read into psychologically. And you're saying things that you don't even realize you're saying by not saying them. He found that restraint about 24 hours after the screenshots were already everywhere. Meanwhile, the family of David, his father, Dwood, his mother, Colleen, and brother, Caleb, are still fighting in the Texas court system to avoid being compelled to testify before the Los Angeles grand jury. The lower court denied their challenge. Their attorney took it to the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals. That court issued a stay. The matter is still pending. David's own family is conducting a multi-state legal battle to avoid answering questions about their son under oath. Nothing like standing up and taking responsibility, right? And Steve Fisher, who has been pushing harder and louder than almost anyone on the outside of this investigation, put it plainly. It's infuriating that we're approaching 6 months and no charges have been filed in her murder. If the evidence hasn't been secured by now, what exactly is happening? Is this a blown investigation? As of today, no charges have been filed against anyone. The case of Celeste Rivas Hernandez's death remains officially undetermined. The autopsy results are still sealed by the court. The grand jury is still meeting, and David has said nothing. Neo Langston says he has receipts. A deception expert says his posts are image management. Aren't every post anyone makes image management? A PI who's been inside that house. So as if you have a side to the story, you're part of that story. And a 14-year-old girl that, the one who, whose name Neo couldn't bring himself to write in a post about how unfair all this has been to him, still doesn't have justice. His receipts exist somewhere, supposedly. The grand jury exists somewhere. The question nobody can answer yet is whether those two things are ever fully in the same room at the same time. And for the family of Celeste Rivas Hernandez, every unanswered question is another day without her. Neo's been charged with nothing. We are in no way saying he's guilty of anything whatsoever. But what do you know? Let's hear it. Let's hear the receipts. Let's hear the receipts. Hopefully, you're giving the investigators what they need to know and you don't dig your hole any deeper than it already is. Do the right thing with whatever you have, whatever you know. And bring justice to Celeste Rivas Hernandez. This could be your shining moment, Neo. Make a count. Don't make this about you, because it ain't about you. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. The links are in the description. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts, whether it be Apple Podcasts, whether it be Spotify, whatever it is. Press subscribe. We would love for you to not miss any of our reporting. And I'd love for you to participate in the comments so we can continue the conversation there. Until next time, until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Well, we knew it might happen. It's happened. A 14-year-old girl's remains had sat in the trunk of a Tesla for weeks in a Hollywood street. For 7 months, the biggest question in this case wasn't who, it was whether anyone could prove how she died. The body was too decomposed, too compromised. A medical examiner couldn't determine the cause of death, and without that, you don't have a murder case. You have a concealment case. You have a body in a trunk and a whole lot of ugly questions with no legal teeth behind them to sink into anything. Well, guess what? That has changed. According to ABC News, investigators now say they can prove that the death of Celeste Rivas Hernandez was, in fact, murder. They haven't said publicly what broke the logjam, what piece of forensic evidence or testimony or digital record finally gave them what they needed. But that's coming. Whatever it was, it was enough, because on April 16th, LAPD Robbery Homicide Division officers moved on a house in Marmont Avenue in the Hollywood Hills. And David Anthony Burke, the 21-year-old recording artist known as David D4VD, with nearly 4 million TikTok followers and over a billion streams on Spotify, walked out in handcuffs. He's being held without bail. No one else was taken into custody. And the case goes to Los Angeles County District Attorney's Major Crimes Division for filing consideration. This is where we are at. Celeste Rivas Hernandez would have turned 16 this coming September. She never made it to 15. So we didn't have a grand jury indictment. We have the DA in this case, giving this to the Los Angeles County District Attorney Major's Crimes Division on Monday for filing consideration. Could things change? Yes, that could very well happen. What exactly happened here? Again, we have a lot of gray area in this that we do not yet know the answer to as to why the grand jury did not convict, as far as we are aware or understanding right now, or give the bill to go arrest him. Why was this moved upon in a different direction, a different way than a grand jury making an indictment? It's a good question. It's an interesting question. Doesn't necessarily mean anything weak about the case or particularly strong about the case. It just seems to be the path that this case is going down. Let me walk you through how we got here, because this story didn't start with an arrest. It started with a smell. Celeste was the daughter of a Salvadoran immigrant, or immigrants, really, a family, living in Lake Elsinore, California, a working-class community in Riverside County, about 70 miles southeast of Los Angeles. She was reported missing three separate times in the final year of her life. According to the Riverside County Sheriff's Office, she was a 13-year-old, seventh grader, when her family last reported her gone in April of 24. She made contact with her family one more time in May of 24. After that, silence. Her mother told reporters her daughter had a boyfriend named David. Her brother told NBC that Celeste went to see a movie with David the night she disappeared and never came home. Now, I have a thousand questions about the parenting that's going on here that allows all of this to occur. How present are we, mom and dad? I think that's a lane that we need to take a little closer look into, and I think we will in the coming weeks and months. Surveillance footage and digital evidence later confirmed she was alive as late as January of 25. Investigators believe she died sometime in the spring of 25, and then on September 8th of 25, one day after what would have been Celeste's 15th birthday, workers at Hollywood Tow called the LAPD about a foul odor coming from a vehicle on their lot. The vehicle was a 23 Tesla Model Y with Texas plates, registered to David Anthony Burke at his family's address in Hempstead, Texas. It's been abandoned on Bluebird Avenue in the Hollywood Hills for weeks, sitting there at this point in time, long enough to get ticketed for violating a 72-hour parking ordinance before finally being towed on September 5th. Officers opened the front trunk, the frunk, and found a black cadaver bag. Inside were severely decomposed remains. A second bag was found beneath the first. According to court filings, the remains were not intact. The Los Angeles County Medical Examiner later identified them as Celeste Rivas Hernandez through dental records. She was wearing black leggings, a tube top, a yellow metal chain bracelet, and stud earrings. And where was David on September 8th? On stage at the Fillmore in Minneapolis, in the middle of a Withered World Tour, is what it was called, performing songs like Romantic Homicide, a track that had gone viral on TikTok and peaked at number 4 on Billboard's Hot Rock and Alternative Songs chart. His music video for another song, One More Dance, featured imagery of a person being placed into a car trunk. A representative said at the time that David was aware of the situation and was fully cooperating with authorities. He canceled the remaining U.S. tour date shortly after this. The European leg was scrapped. Promotion of his deluxe album was paused, and then the details started surfacing. The kind of details that don't let you really look away. The medical examiner found a tattoo on Celeste's right index finger. It read, "Shh." David has a matching tattoo in the same spot. Her mother confirmed they had been in a relationship, but here's the detail that kind of reframes everything about the case. According to TMZ and Fox LA, David's friends allegedly believe Celeste was a 19-year-old student at USC. She was reportedly seen at age-restricted events. She was not 19. She was not a college student. She was 14. Seventh grader, eighth grader, right around that age. Think about that for a second. And the question of how the people around David came to believe a child was a grown woman, how that lie was maintained and who maintained it and for how long, is one that deserves a long answer from a lot of people who have been very quiet. The timeline may go back even further than most people realize. A user named Celeste was allegedly present in David's official Discord server as early as 2022, when she would have been 11 or 12. Other users in that server reportedly referred to her as his girlfriend. In the summer of 24, after Celeste had already been reportedly missing, David allegedly posted that he was in a song crisis An anonymous user responded with her full name. Drop the one with the missing girl, Celeste Rivas Hernandez. He reportedly never replied. Her name was right there in his server and nobody did anything. 10 days after the body was found, on September 18th, LAPD executed a search warrant at David's Hollywood Hills rental property. They seized electronic devices, including a computer. A private investigator hired by the property owner later reported finding a burn cage incinerator on the premises. David's manager terminated the lease. He moved out on the night of the arrest itself. 7 months later, NBC4 reporters observed detectives leaving the Marymount Avenue home carrying evidence boxes. But the detail that's going to haunt this case more than any other is a trip. According to multiple reports, LAPD obtained tracking data placing David in a remote, deserted area of Santa Barbara County in the middle of the night during spring of 2025, the same window investigators believe Celeste died. He reportedly spent several hours there. LAPD publicly confirmed in November 25 that they were investigating this trip and believed it was connected to Celeste's disappearance. TMZ's Harvey Levin reported the tracking data was confirmed by an LAPD source. Whatever happened on that stretch of road in the dark, investigators apparently believe it matters enough to build a case around it. And through all of this, the cooperation narrative was quietly falling apart because by November 25, LAPD sources told NBC4 that David was no longer cooperating with the investigation, directly contradicting what his representative had said in September. A secret grand jury was convened this same month, led by Deputy District Attorney Beth Silverman. Witnesses included David's manager, Robert Morngroth, of Mogul Vision, his friend and streamer Neil Langston, and eventually his own family, his mother Colleen, his father David Sr., and his brother Caleb, who tried to block the California subpoenas allegedly through a Texas court in February 2026. The judge declined to intervene. The family was compelled to appear in Los Angeles. What they said behind closed doors remains under grand jury secrecy. Meanwhile, LAPD has obtained a court order in November sealing the medical examiner's findings, including autopsy results and cause of death. Judge Craig Richman granted the security hold. In a move that tells you everything about the tension inside this case, the medical examiner's office publicly pushed back, saying the hold prevented them from serving our community with full transparency. The people whose job it is to speak for the dead were told by law enforcement they could not speak. That friction between transparency and strategy has kind of defined this investigation from the beginning and made it very confusing and made a lot of what has been going on for the last 6 months utter speculation. The music industry didn't wait for an arrest to make its judgment. Cali Uchis, who had a collaboration with David called Crashing on his debut album, pulled the song from streaming and said publicly that Burke was not her friend. Icelandic singer Lofi quietly removed another collaboration. Olympic figure skater Alyssa Liu changed her competition routine because it featured one of his songs. EA Sports pulled his track from Madden NFL 26 without a statement. Crocs and Hollister pulled their joint campaigns. Interscope Records effectively froze his career before a single charge was filed. The entire ecosystem around David had already made its call. So what has changed now here? April 16th, when the arrest went down. Well, two things happened at once. First, investigators reportedly solved the cause of death problem. ABC News sources say the biggest hurdle had been the condition of the body, decomposed and compromised, making it extraordinarily difficult to determine how Celeste actually died. Something broke that all open. They haven't actually said what yet, but they now say they have what they need to prove this wasn't concealment of an accident. It was murder, according to them. Second, LAPD chose not to wait for a grand jury indictment. And this is a part I find particularly interesting. The grand jury has been sitting on this case for roughly 5 months. No indictment came. So robbery homicide went a different route. What's known in California as a Ramey warrant. That's a pre compliant arrest warrant where a detective submits a sworn declaration of probable cause directly to a judge who signs off on the arrest before the district attorney has filed any charges. It bypasses the DA entirely. It's the tool investigators use when they believe they have enough and can't afford to wait. So what basically pushed that? What tipped the scales is the question, because it's been sitting here for quite a while. What made it go whoo so quickly that we couldn't wait for the grand jury to digest that information and issue their bill that way? What was that? We don't know. We don't have the answer to that question. That, again, is utter and pure speculation. But that's one of those answers to questions I am certainly waiting to hear the answer to. And look, these sort of things do happen regularly. This is not super out of the ordinary. Not everything takes a grand jury for an arrest to take place. But there was some sort of triggering event that put us here. And we'll find out. That probable cause declaration, the document that would explain exactly what evidence pushed LAPD over the line, again, not been made public. The medical examiner's report is sealed by a court order. The grand jury proceedings are sealed by law. And now the arrest warrant declaration is also not public. Three layers of secrecy sitting on top of a no bail arrest that has not yet produced a criminal complaint. The public knows that David Burke was arrested for the alleged murder of Celeste Rivas Hernandez. The public does not know the specific evidence that got him there, at least not as of this immediate recording. There's still a lot of secrecy here. LAPD Captain Scott Williams told the California Post, "We did the best we can to keep tabs on him, but once we developed probable cause to arrest him for murder, then we were on him pretty diligently." TMZ video showed tactical officers approaching the house using a loudspeaker, ordering surrender. Rolling Stone sources at the home said Burke was completely cooperative when taken into custody. Both accounts, yeah. True, but the approach, armed officers, loudspeaker, tactical gear, tells you how seriously LAPD assessed the risk. Was it a realistic assessment? I don't know. I don't know what they were expecting, but they certainly were taking it seriously. That's what that action tells us. The defense team responded within hours, and their statement deserves a careful read. Attorneys Blair Burke, Marilyn Bednarski, and Regina Peters said, "The actual evidence in this case will show that David Burke did not murder Celeste Rivas Hernandez, and he was not the cause of her death. There has been no indictment returned by any grand jury in this case, and no criminal complaint filed. David has only been detained under suspicion. We will vigorously defend David's innocence." So this is an interesting step. That was the defense team's first public statement on the case. And now you understand why they led with no indictment and no criminal complaint, because this was a Rammy warrant, a pre-complaint arrest. The DA hasn't signed off on anything yet. The grand jury didn't hand this down. A detective convinced a judge, and that's it so far. The defense wants you to know the difference, and legally the difference does matter. Of course, a defense attorney is going to be painting David in the best possible light possible. That is their job. But I'm going to caution you, with any case, as quickly as seems the knee-jerk reaction is on so many things to be, "Ha, they got him." Yeah, they did. We knew that there might be an arrest at some point here. But what can they prove? That's still the question. Because if this were a case that had just, out of the park evidence, just this is, we got him dead to rights. An arrest would have been made a long time ago. It took a long time to get this arrest, which in a lot of cases tells me is, evidence that may be up for debate a bit, which is what a trial is for. Again, that's my opinion. That's my speculation. I don't know either way. I don't have an opinion either way of if he's guilty or innocent. We're going to wait for the evidence, and there's simply not enough of it yet. It's a very tricky, very bizarre case. This isn't as cut and dry as, you know, Gilgo Beach or something of that nature, where, you know, it's set up like that. It's not Koberger. What happened here? I think that's a big gray area, but hopefully we can get to that. I was going to say, as we go in, I know we've been talking about this for a while, keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. I'm going to. I think we all need to on this. So there's a difference. There's a difference in the defense of him, of David wants you to know that. They certainly want you to know that. The DA hasn't signed off on anything yet. The grand jury didn't hand this down. A detective convinced a judge. That's it so far. It's not that he didn't know her. It's not he wasn't involved. It's not he was never in that apartment or he never had been to Santa Barbara. Specifically, what has been said by the defense, he was not the cause of her death. That is a defense already carving out its territory. Conceding nothing about the car, the apartment, the relationship, what was done to the body, the tracking data, while denying only the single allegation that carries a life sentence. That framing is deliberate, and it tells you exactly where this fight is headed. Maybe the bigger crime, well, I mean, someone's dead. I can't say the bigger crimes. The biggest crime here is someone's dead. But was that even a crime? Was the death part of a crime? Or is the more chargeable actions against David involving concealing a death, which that in itself is a crime? Her death may not have been a crime. It may have been natural. Not reporting it, finding ways to cover it up, that is a crime. It's not a life sentence, but still it is a crime. So what are we talking about here? Is it murder? Is it concealing a body? Is it all of the above? David's parents issued their own statement through an attorney. David's parents believe in his innocence and support him wholeheartedly. The same parents who fought grand jury subpoenas in a Texas courtroom 2 months ago. So, Monday. And depending on when you're listening to this or watching this, we're talking specifically about the 20th of April of 2026. That's going to be the single most important day in this case since September 8th of 25. The DA's Major Crimes Division will review the evidence and decide whether to file formal charges. Under California law, once you're in custody, prosecutors have roughly 48 hours, not counting weekends, to file or release. If they file, David Anthony Burke faces a murder prosecution that will play out under a national spotlight. If they don't, he walks out of that jail, and the defense team spends the next 6 months telling everyone who will listen that LAPD arrested a man, the grand jury wouldn't indict, and the DA wouldn't charge. There's no middle ground. But here's what I keep coming back to on this, and I think it's what a lot of you keep coming back to as well, because this was never really a story about a pop star. At Lake Elsinore, a neighbor named Kylie Cortez built a memorial for Celeste. NBC4 spoke with her on the night of the arrest. She said she started it because Celeste deserved justice. She had been, or it had been rather, 220 days when she heard the news. She said she got chills. 220 days. That's how long it took between finding a child's body in a car frunk and putting someone in handcuffs for it. And are they doing it for the right reason? Do they have the right guy? Is there a crime? And we want to find a villain. Are we finding the right one? I'm asking you. Tell me in the comments. Celeste Rivas Hernandez was reported missing three separate times. She was allegedly in a grown man's Discord server when she was 11 or 12 years old. His friends allegedly thought She was a 19-year-old college student. She was missing for roughly 17 months before her body was found. Her family, immigrants from El Salvador, living in a working-class town in Riverside County, spent that time watching a secret grand jury, a medical examiner under a gag order, and a defense team with the kind of resources most families never see. And the only reason any of us learned her name, the only reason we are here having this conversation, is because someone left a car parked on a Hollywood street long enough to get a parking ticket. And a tow yard worker noticed something that didn't smell right. That's how the system found Celeste Rivas Hernandez. Not because anyone was looking for her. Which, again, I got some questions about family life. And we're going to do a little digging over there. And I'm sorry for your loss. That is horrible. But I'm sorry the story of her being a runaway and nobody really knowing where she is, but she's kind of back home for a little bit and she's kind of not. What the hell is going on there? What the hell is going on in that house? I don't know. I'm not accusing him of anything criminal or bad, or I don't know. I just don't know, because this isn't normal. This isn't healthy. There's some triggering reason why this girl's not going back home, why she's finding more comfort to be hanging out with David than with her family. And I'm just not, I don't know, I'm not convinced here that maybe convinced is the wrong word. I'm not understanding or seeing evidence of a stronger desire to find the girl while she was missing. Why is that? Am I missing something? Tell me if I am. So I don't want to cast aspersions in an area that don't deserve them, but I've been watching this case now for a while, and that area has struck me as very odd. I'm not saying there's anything illegal. I'm just saying, what's going on? It feels like a bankruptcy of some sort, and I don't know if it's moral, ethical, parental, I don't know. Too busy providing, working, and you don't have time to watch the kids. I don't know. I don't know the answer. And I guess that's what's making me question what the hell's going on over there. I'm not trying to cast accusations or anything. I'm asking why? How did this happen that there didn't seem to be the urgency that one would put on a missing child? It just seems off. I have a daughter the same age. I don't think there'd be anything I'd be doing other than looking for her if she were missing. And here it feels like she was kind of an afterthought. At least that's the vibe that I've gotten from all this. And I know vibes aren't facts. So again, I'm asking the question. If anyone can fill in those blanks better for me, that'd be great. Obviously, all individuals that we've been talking about are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. This is an opinion piece. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Love for you to weigh in, and we will continue our conversation there. There's a lot to come here. We're just about to dive into the pool. Hope you'll join us. Press subscribe. We'll continue the comments or the conversation in the comments. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.